ago, one of my favorite YouTube channels, it's a bit of a nerdy kind of tech channel, had a segment on the show where they challenged two teams to put together a simple piece of furniture from IKEA. That sounds quite simple, right? Yes? Yeah? One slight catch. The instructions had been removed from the box. One team ended up making a hopeless mess of things, and the other team, whilst theirs kind of looked like a chest of drawers, unfortunately, the drawers were in upside down, and it was therefore useless for its purpose. Now, I want to ask you guys a question today. Why is it important for us to follow instructions? I want to ask you to turn to the kind of people next to you and ask them why it's important to follow instructions. And perhaps more embarrassingly or importantly, depending on what it was, has there been a time when you didn't follow the instructions and it went totally wrong? I'll give you a minute or two to chat and then we'll come back together. Cool. Now, I'm sure some of you shared some silly stories that you might remember. I shared one about a chair that my dad put together incorrectly, and it ended up being effectively a rocking chair on a diagonal, which he insisted was how it was supposed to be. So that wasn't very good. And sometimes some of you will have thought, what on earth was that person thinking when they made that mistake? Now, a simple example is shampoo. Now, I presume everyone here knows how to use shampoo. If I look on the instructions on the back of here, it says, apply to wet hair, work into a luxurious lather, rinse thoroughly, repeat if necessary. Okay, so that sounds okay, but the problem I had, and this is, I did actually do this, which, as you'll see why, was a bit of a problem. I only followed part of those instructions. So let's have a look at what happened here. So this is me. I don't know if you can see very well. This is me writing my talk for this morning. And yeah, that was okay. A bit silly. Playing video games, that was also okay. I was able to do it all right. The controller got a little bit wet, but actually a more significant thing happened if we go on to the next one. When soap studs started to dribble into my eye, and I actually cut that experiment short. I was planning to do a few more things, but soap studs in the eye is a really painful thing to happen. So I decided that wasn't a good idea, and I probably should have followed the instructions that were written on here, rinse thoroughly. Lesson learnt. Now, in our daily lives, if we make a mistake and don't follow the instructions on, say, a shampoo bottle, if we don't remember to wash out the shampoo from our hair, we might look a bit silly in public, and we may even get soap suds in our eyes as we play Xbox or something. However, this morning, we're going to think about some far more important instructions for our lives, God's instructions, and how, if we don't listen to them, we might miss out on something much more important than looking good out in public. Now, what seems a simple question at first, how do we know what God's instructions to us are, actually turned out to be a far bigger question than I first thought when I was wondering what to speak about today. The first answer has to be that he gave us instructions through the Bible. It's an absolutely amazing book and serves as the perfect instruction manual for our lives. There's instructions all the way through the Bible, examples of this being things like the Ten Commandments or what was said in the Sermon on the Mount. And of course, from last Sunday, the instruction written in huge letters above my head here, the instruction that Jesus commanded each of his disciples to do before he returns to heaven. Go and make disciples and followers of all peoples, baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. We put that into practice last weekend, and it was a joy, privilege, and honor to be able to baptize Betty on behalf of the church. If you don't know, that is Betty. That was us dropping her down into the water and then bringing her back up. It's clear that throughout the Bible, people were seeking God's voice and direction to help them to know what to do and where to go. And there is a pretty perfect example of this found in the passage that we briefly looked at last week from Acts chapter 8. And in fact, that's where we're going to base our kind of talk this morning. And I'd like to invite Mary up now to read to us from Acts chapter 8, starting at verse 26. Now, if you've got a Bible with you, it might be a good time to get it out. We're going to be fingering the text for most of this morning. But if not, the words are on the screen, so listen.
Page 1040, Acts chapter 8, verses 26 to 38. Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Go south to the road, the desert road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza." So he started out, and on his way he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of the Candake, which means Queen of the Ethiopians. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way home was sitting in his chariot, reading the book of Isaiah the prophet. The Spirit told Philip, "Go to that chariot and stay near it." Then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. "Do you understand what you are reading?" Philip asked. "How can I," he said, "unless someone explains it to me?" So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. "This is the passage of scripture," the eunuch was reading. "He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth." The eunuch asked Philip, "Tell me, please, who is the prophet talking about, himself or someone else?" Then Philip began with that very passage of scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. As they traveled along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "Look, here is water. What can stand in the way of my being baptized?" And he gave orders to stop the chariot. Then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. Thank you.
Thank you, Mary. So to give a little bit of background to this story, Philip was already following Jesus' instructions to go to Samaria and preach the gospel, that is, the good news of Jesus Christ. Crowds of people saw God's power working through Philip, and, well, they believed in what he was saying. They believed Jesus was who he said he was. But whilst Philip was in Samaria, what did the angel of the Lord instruct him to do? He told him in verse 26, Go south to the road, the desert road, that goes from Jerusalem to Gaza. Philip received instructions and he didn't hesitate to obey. He followed what had been asked of him up till that point, so there wasn't really any reason to argue with God. He didn't tell God that he'd do it later. He went immediately to where God was telling him to go. Now, what is your response when God clearly tells you what to do? Do you obey immediately? Or do you make excuses and delay your obedience to God's instructions? Sometimes we think that God only spoke to people in the Bible, so why should we expect to hear from God? Maybe children here might think that God only speaks to the adults. I know that when I was younger, I thought that God only spoke to all of the old people in church, and I sometimes felt very on my own. I didn't feel like God was ever going to want to speak to me. Well, if you've ever heard or read the story of Samuel, you'll know that that simply isn't the case. The story shows us that God spoke to a young boy called Samuel. And now at first, Samuel didn't know it was God who was speaking to him. But when the priest realized that it was God who was speaking to Samuel, he told him what to do. Samuel was just a young boy, but he heard God's voice and he followed what was asked of him. I know that God speaks to children today. I've seen it so many times, and I've learned to listen and respect anything that they say has come from God. So back to the story. Philip obeyed God's instructions immediately and began walking where the Lord had told him to. As he traveled down the desert road, he heard the rumbling of horses, and he saw a chariot carrying somebody in his direction. Sitting in that chariot, all the way from Ethiopia, this man was an important official, a eunuch from the land of Ethiopia. And he was traveling in his chariot, because he's an important official, and he's reading the Bible, or at least as much of it that was available to him at that time. As he's traveling and reading, the Holy Spirit says to Philip, here you go, verse 29, the Spirit told Philip, go to that chariot and stay near it. Now, when it says stay near it, it doesn't mean that this chariot had stopped by the side of the road. What it meant was that Philip was to kind of try and catch up with this chariot so that he was able to walk alongside. Now, imagine today if God asked us to jog alongside a bus. Maybe somebody was reading the Bible on their phone and God was saying, you know what, you need to go and catch them before they get away. Maybe Philip did that as he ran along, and maybe he decided he wanted to pray to God. He was maybe thinking, Lord, give me strength to keep up with this chariot because it's moving really fast. Running alongside the chariot, Philip heard the Ethiopian reading the book of Isaiah out loud. And as Philip heard this man reading God's word, he had the wisdom to know the right thing to ask. Just like how when we are obedient to God's instructions, he gives us wisdom to know what to say. Let's see what Philip asks in the next verse. Then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. Do you understand what you're reading? Philip asked. How can I? He said, unless someone explains it to me. So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. Let's pause and see some of the possible answers that Philip could have said at this point. He could have said, well, there's this guy back in Jerusalem. His name's Peter. He's an incredible speaker. He knows all about this sort of thing. You should go and listen to him. In our circumstances, we can replace Jerusalem with Stoke or Newcastle, and we can replace Peter with pretty much anybody else. Maybe he could have said, I'd love to share with you about that passage, but I'm really hungry and tired from traveling along this desert road, and you've just made me run alongside you for ages. Do you reckon you can meet me tomorrow, same time? How about we meet up in the local coffee shop? Both seem like the sort of thing that we might do when someone asks us to share our faith. But thankfully, Philip was following what was asked of him, and he obeyed his instructions. When he was invited to sit in the chariot, he immediately accepted. After Philip had been sharing all about Jesus with the thousands and thousands of people in Samaria, here was another opportunity for him, all because he responded to what God asked of him. Philip helped the Ethiopian to understand the verses from Isaiah. You can find them in chapter 53. And after answering a few questions, the eunuch saw some water. And having realized what he believed, he said, "Why shouldn't I be baptized?" The Ethiopian gave orders for the chariot to stop. He and Philip jumped out, and as we heard last week, Philip took the Ethiopian man down to the water and baptized him. The Ethiopian man's life was changed forever because he believed in the Lord Jesus. He now understood what God had written in Isaiah as a prophecy. He realized that all of it had come true. Everything written about Jesus in the Old Testament had come true, and he believed in Jesus, and his sins were forgiven. And to show that he truly believed and was a believer, he was immediately baptized. Now, remember how I said that this man was an important official, you know, because he had a fancy chariot? Well, this man had an important job, working for the Queen of Ethiopia. Now, because Philip was immediately obedient to God's instructions, this man, this eunuch, returns to Ethiopia as a Christian. We have no idea how many people's lives were changed because of this one step of faith. Nowadays, it's estimated that there are around 65 million Christians in Ethiopia, and it's probably thought that this was the way that Christianity first entered into the country. Now, as we come into land this morning, let's imagine for a minute what might have happened if Philip hadn't immediately obeyed what had been asked of him. I think the most likely outcome is probably that this Ethiopian man would have returned to his country, confused about what was written, and simply not able to understand or believe in Jesus. Philip's example teaches us the importance for us to obey Jesus' voice immediately when we hear it. If we're not sure, talk to a friend. Talk to me. Talk to somebody who you know about what you think is being said. At Soul Survivor, they encourage people to share all the time with one another things that they feel have been said to them from God. What you think is trivial to you might well be exactly what someone else has the answer to provide. The story today also teaches us that we don't always know how God is working in the lives of people around us. Philip didn't know the reason why he was called to leave Samaria, this place where he was meeting thousands of people and teaching them about God. He was bringing thousands of people to know Jesus, and yet for whatever reason, God called him to speak to this one person traveling on a dusty road. And maybe the final thing for us to take away this morning is this, that we simply might need to find the time to meet with those and to share the love of God today with those who are around us. So often we put off meeting with people, we put off listening to God's call in our lives because we're too busy. We so often tell ourselves, if only I had the time to do this, if only I had the time to meet this person. It all can get a bit too much. So this week, why don't we try praying that each day that we would be able to listen carefully for God's instructions in our lives? Why don't we pray about obeying God? Why don't we ask for God to help us, to give us strength to share what we know with others? Let's pray together. Father, we thank you that even still today, you give us instructions on how to live our lives, on how to share our faith, and how to know you better in our busy lives. Help us to not drown you out with other things, and help us to be ready to serve you when you call, ready and willing to share you with anyone that you would call us to meet with. Amen.